welcome everyone. FT After Hours Podcast. Here we are back in the studio, and we got a full house here this afternoon. We're excited. The week off, I'm like, man, sometimes I'm like, oh man, I wish we could do a podcast. And blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we're back at it, and we got Mike here with us.
Hello.
Wayne's back here.
Hey, guys.
And Andre's joining us once again.
Hey.
And I haven't seen you guys for a while. Everybody's been pretty busy, so I'm excited to have you guys back and see what's going on and talk about a few things. And
yeah, it's good to see everyone.
Yeah, I know. I miss you guys when you're not here. So, well, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about today. We're going to get to the Night Visionaire, do a little review on that. And for some reason, Horizon Hobby just kind of unleashed a bunch of new stuff, products, so we're just going to keep rolling with them and go into that. A couple little things from Hobby King, a couple other little things, and I finally got my Rock Hobby glider put together and had a few issues with that, so we'll talk about that, and whatever else Andre's got on his plate. I know you got a new radio, so we can... get into that a little bit, because I really don't know much about that radio, Andre. So, matter of fact, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, because I'm not familiar with it at all. I mean, I've heard of it, I've seen them, but I don't know much about them.
Yeah, so, I mean, our last podcast, I mentioned the whole talking radio envy thing, and that just suddenly turned into me owning a Tyrannus.
Wow.
So that runs off the FR Sky 2.4 protocol, but it can take any JR style receiver module. So I've gone in so far and modified my old Trinergy 9X receiver or transmitter module. Then I've got the Orange RX so I can do my spectrums, and then I've got the 433 for some of the long range FPV planes.
Huh.
And it's got a little software package called the OpenTX, so I can get in there and I can build all my models on my laptop, and I can just import them right into the radio. So it's got all the pictures and it's got all the voice commands, so I can do flap ups and flaps down. But software wise, it's very similar. You know, it has a lot of the same functionality as I saw in my 9X when I modified that one. But this radio is it's got heaps of capacity and just. And the FR Sky protocols and some of the receivers are pretty impressive. So I've been really, 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 really having to be good and not do things like buy the telemetry modules and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can put into the the variable meter.
Yeah.
Right away. That's the first one I want to get.
You were sending me some links, and it's cheap too. I think it's like $13 for the variable meter. Is that right?
I know. Who is it? Lemon. Lemon's got one, but the variable meter will range from 20. The high end one is like $35, I think.
Uh-huh.
And the receiver in a small four channel receiver that's perfect for the radio. And again, it's another $30. But then you've got your full telemetry package coming back, and you can monitor your reception power and your battery power and so
mm-hmm.
on. And
mm-hmm.
it's just. All that capacity that we like. And so I've been slowly programming. It does take a little bit of time, I find, to program the planes and get used to it.
Right.
But, once you're into a pattern, so I've kind of going in, moving my planes slowly over. So the first one was like the 190 and learn about the switches and, you know, when I push up, does it actually, you know, bring the gear up and stuff and learn all the little nuances. But,
mm-hmm.
I downloaded a voice pack called Amber, and apparently it's another hobby enthusiast, and his girlfriend or wife she's voiced all these commands.
Really?
So that bombs away one?
Yeah,
some
yeah.
That's some guy's wife saying bombs away.
No
she's
kidding.
Got a whole bunch, you know. It's just fun. So, for what it costs me and what it gives me, I'm impressed. So I'm going to slowly move over all my modules. I'm not going to buy a whole lot of receivers. So I did buy two just to try them out, and eventually I'll get a few telemetry things. But it's one of those things where I've got a feeling you become addicted to having that data coming to you.
Oh, yes.
So all of a sudden, every single plane
yeah.
has got a whole whack of, like the telemetry suite, you could actually outprice the aircraft
yeah.
with the telemetry gear.
Right. I found the same thing too now with having, you know, even our 8s had it, but, you know, with the 9, once you start to have, you know, your battery voltage and your altitude and your speed, that stuff's just fun and it's nice to look at and check out
yeah.
and everything. And yeah, it's. Yeah. You want it. Once you have it, you want it in every airplane.
And, you know, knowing us, we don't just have like one or two airplanes.
Exactly.
So,
You're exactly right. It gets so expensive.
I'm gone in. I've got two receivers on order, and eventually I will equip the Radiant with the variometer, just because, mm-hmm. you know, that is the number one thing I could see this radio being. And I've had a couple really nice flights with the Radiant, so I'm like, oh, this would be kind of neat just to hear the tones and know what I'm doing. So,
yeah.
But otherwise, it's a beautiful, beautifully equipped radio, and I'm looking forward to just having to take one radio, and I've got the box equipped with the modules, and I could see myself going, yeah, eventually just start paring down some of the other receivers and just sticking with one manufacturer. But mm-hmm. I've got quite a lot of the 9X receivers because that was my primary radio for almost 2 years now. So, you know, you're sitting there looking at, you know, probably what, 9-10 receivers. That's a lot of gear to replace. So.
Right. I don't blame you there. The FR Sky receivers, do they have the built-in telemetry or
Yes. Yeah. Most of them have the built-in telemetry. Most of it's the basic level stuff. Is, you know, a lot of your receiver strength indicators,
mm-hmm.
and then you can get this little hub, they call it, and then you can plug in your battery sensors, your temperature sensors, your GPS sensor, your variable meters, and it goes on. And you know, your airspeed indicators. So you could probably equip one plane with, like I said, more sensors and data than you could ever use in your lifetime. But, you know, it's you know, I can just imagine like the Sky Mule, like fully loaded, you know, it's like a sensor platform.
Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah.
Now, how many, you might have mentioned this, I might miss it. How many models does this one hold? Because I know you said yours holds like 250 in the last podcast.
250.
What does this Tyrannus hold?
Well, it's got an SD card on it, so I don't think you could ever top out.
Right.
But what's the internal do you know what the internal memory is without the
SD card? I think it stores the model memory all on the SD card. Like, I don't think there's
solely,
actually...
that's its memory. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. Okay.
So, I guess if you were to tap out on it, then you just say, fine, I'll just go put another stick in there. But,
yeah, okay.
You know, so if it's right now, I'm starting to run out of space on my 2 9Xs between the, I got one that's just a standard protocol 9X, and then the other one I've been running between the DSMX and the 433, and both of those radios are starting to give me warnings, you know, because I you know, once you start adding a quad here and there and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and all the extra features. It starts going oh. So I'm really happy just to have this platform at my, you know, finally get along with that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I don't blame you. It looks, the radio itself looks really cool too. You know, with the you know, pictures you showed me. That.
And what I like, it's every single one of those toggle switches mm-hmm. is a three-way switch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. So that was my issue with the 9X. Like when I was doing things, like I was experimenting with the. That flight controller I have, there's the T1000 with the return to home or return to launch. And the problem I ran into with the Bixler was I only had one three-way switch on the 9X. The three modes are set to the flight controller, and then I had to move my flaps over to a two-way switch or one of the toggle, not the toggle, but one of the variable knobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I lost my ability to have three-step flaps. So now it's like, this radio, I can do you can do anything you want with this radio as far as the programming and the mixing goes. So
right. Does it have any slider knobs on it?
It does.
Oh, wow.
So what do they do?
You can use them for wherever, like even you can put your flaps on them, you know, or, or if you got a camera, you know, like when you're setting up your APM quad, you can put the camera, on a slider so you can just, you know, adjust it in small increments.
Almost acts like a servo at that point.
Yeah. I love the sliders actually.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. You can put really anything you want on them, but it's up to you, but it's just nice that, you know, instead of
using a dial
switch, yeah, or whatever. You just, you know, like on the 9, I think my sliders are on the back, and you just put your finger right on it and just, you know, slide them real nice and easy.
Very cool.
Yeah. What actual channel radio is it? Is it 8, 9, 10? What is it?
The real thing, I was reading up on one of the receivers, and... stock it's 8, and then if you do the S bus it's 16, or you can even go as far as running one of the receiver packs. I got the 8RX or 8XR or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you run two of them, You theoretically can have 32 buses, like 32 channels. Or you just run the two of them, you can have 8. So I saw a really neat demo where a guy had this pretty large jet, and it's got the very, you know, the vectoring thrust and all the ailerons and all this stuff moves. And he had two of these receivers in there. So he, you know, he had, because he needed 10 channels, he said. So that's what he did. He ran one of those. But then you can put the S-Bus stuff in as well. So, and some of these receivers work really well with the flight controllers. And if I've read correctly, I can run the internal module. The FR Sky stuff is all on an internal module. And then I could have an external module running, so I could run another FR Sky or the 9X stuff, or, you know, the Spectrum stuff. So you could theoretically, you know, if you had a really impressive airplane and wanted that other receiver step, you know, for the accessories such as, you know, your pan and tilt and stuff, you could actually throw in a secondary receiver and run it like that.
Huh, that's interesting.
So, but I could just imagine the battery power being just drained on the radio running two transmissions, but yeah, it could be done. I haven't tested that yet, but I'm looking forward to trying it just for fun. Hmm. You know, put one of my smaller Spectrum 6-channel receivers and use that to control the pan and tilt on, you know, if I ever did a head tracker or something like that on. Obviously, you'd want a bigger airplane because all of a sudden you're running into a lot more power requirements and stuff, but there's a lot of possibilities here.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's just going to be exciting to be able to pare down to one radio. As long as, and like I said, the modules, I've got the case all set up. On my 9X1, if I keep running that, I'm probably going to make the antenna detachable, put a little SMB connector on it or mm-hmm. something like that, just so I can take it all apart cleanly.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, but a lot of neat interest. You know, I was tweeting out pictures and doing Instagram and posting stuff on the flight test forum, and just answering a couple of questions. You know, and people wanted to know what my take was and my view on some of the stuff. So, but so far I'm impressed. I haven't I haven't flown with it. I've just been slowly moving all the planes, and you know how it is.
Yeah,
you've all these other planes set up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, not. That receiver is buried in there. How am I supposed to do the buying now?
Yeah.
Without taking the whole thing apart.
I mean, I've had my 9 for quite a while here, and I think I've only transferred maybe 4 planes over to it yet. Everything else is still on my 8. I'm like kind of dreading doing all that, because the bad thing is with it was before, like, if you you could just transfer your SD card, but now the firmware and everything from the 8 and the 9 is completely different, and it's kind of so you can't just transfer everything over. You got to physically do everything in the radio, and I'm like dreading it.
I'm sitting there with my laptop connected to the Taranis, and I got my 9X sitting on my lap, and I'm tabbing through all the menus. Okay, invert that servo. Okay, mm-hmm. let's set the switches and everything. But it's also giving me a chance to go through and kind of standardizing where I throw my rate switches and my flap switches, so all my planes will handle the same. So there's no surprises. You're not throwing a switch and going, oh, what? That's not what I was looking for.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree. All right, awesome. Real quick, I wanted to talk about this a little bit. And anybody that knows me or listens to the podcast, I have this weird fascination with flying in bad weather, whether we're flying our Beavers when it's a complete blizzard outside and 30-mile-an-hour winds, or I've really been dying to get one of my planes and set it up and waterproof it and fly out in the rain. And, of course, we talked a little bit, maybe a couple podcasts ago, about the splash drone that's coming out. And I think, actually, Flight Test is supposed to be getting one here soon, which is completely waterproof. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I you know, especially looking, if anybody follows Wayne on Instagram, he's got a phenomenal setup now with his camera with, what is it, a photo eye sensor on your camera for the lightning pictures?
Oh, my lightning
triggers. Yeah. So, looking at Wayne's photos and everything, I just want to get some kind of a waterproof quad and get up near, you know, some thunderstorm or something, and just see if you could get some cool shots or some cool video of it. So the other day, Wayne sent me a link to this little quad called the Lily Waterproof Selfie Drone. So at first, you know, I seen it and watched a couple of videos. I thought it was a little interesting. So I dug a little deeper and went in, checked it all out. Now, it's not actually even out yet. So you're kind of limited on the details, but they had a little question and answer thing. People were firing off questions and they were kind of answering. Now, the crazy thing is, just looking at it, it's fairly small. It's probably I'm trying to remember what the size of it was. Probably like a 350 size quad, maybe. But the crazy thing was, going and watching the videos, the thing basically, if you know, you can throw it up in the air and the thing will take off.
It says it's 10.29 inches square.
Yeah, that's probably real close to like a 350 size quad, yeah. The scary thing I seen in the videos is the only way this thing comes back down is either has to drop it like in, on the ground, or a lot of them were catching it. Did you see that, Wayne? How they were just trying to catch it in your hand? I was like,
yeah, because there's no controller.
Yeah, no controller whatsoever for this thing. And the scary thing was, and I think the first video I see is this guy standing on the bridge, and he just grabs his quad and he chucks it off this bridge, and I'm thinking, what is he doing? And the thing just kind of takes off, comes back up. Now, how it kind of works is it's a tracking device that looks like you wear on your wrist. And you do have a little bit of options with it. Now, from my understanding of reading and seeing the videos and everything, you can set it up to either be on, follow you on the side, on the back, or on the front, or I think it even has something where it'll actually loop around you. But that's all it can do. It has no kind of avoidance or anything like that. So if this thing's following you and you know there's wires or trees or buildings or anything, it's going to go right into them. So that's one big thing you got to watch about with it. The thing I kind of threw me off a little bit was I seen a price of $500 for this little thing, and I'm thinking, well, okay, it's a little steep. But digging a little farther, that was $500 for the pre-order. They really want $999 is going to be the regular price for that thing. And I don't think too many people are going to be buying something like that. I think it's overpriced. The other bad thing I found out about it was, is since technically it's a waterproof drone, as they're calling it, is the battery is internal. So, and if it does, they said fly roughly around 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But the problem is, once that 20 minutes is up, you're done. There's no swapping out batteries, and it takes a 2-hour charge for that battery. So you got 20 minutes for a small little selfie camera, basically, for $1,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, at first I was a little intrigued, but digging in deep.
The only thing intriguing was the waterproof aspect, probably for you at first.
Yeah, and then they had a couple cool videos where, you know, where they tossed it right in the water. Yeah. You know, I think it was following some canoers or something down. It looked cool. They made the videos and everything they did, they made it look really cool. But once I dug into it, what do you think, Wayne?
Nah. I don't see a purpose in it.
For $1,000?
That's a lot of money.
Selfie camera, who cares?
Yeah, you can go get a Phantom, but it'll be interesting to see how many spin-offs come from this at a lower price in like a year.
Oh, I wouldn't even give it a year. I'd give it three to 6 months, and you're going to
see waterproof.
Yeah.
Other drones with waterproofing stuff, too.
Right. For a couple $100, it would be a neat novelty item.
Yeah, take it to the beach, get some shots, it lands. You know?
Right, exactly.
Oh, so. I didn't realize the dimension I gave you, too, was with the blades folded in.
Oh,
so
was it?
The blades out, it's going to be a little longer than that, wider.
Yeah, it's still probably pretty close.
You're right.
It's got a bit of a cute-looking face thing going on with the eyes that glow blue.
It does look good. I will give him credit. It does look good.
It almost
it's
looks
clean.
Like a Japanimation character.
Yeah.
Yeah. right. So we'll see. You know, that price might significantly stay at 500 or below after it comes out and they don't get any sales.
Rotor DR1 love interest, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, the other thing I wanted to mention was we were at our local Memorial Day parade. They have it every year, and usually my sons are in it because of the baseball and this and that. And there's a gentleman down there. He's a local guy here in Canal Fulton, does a lot of flying with a Phantom and does a lot of the parades and the festivities that they have throughout the summer and everything. And he does some good work. He posts on the internet and everything, but Monday, he was flying around at the parade, and he was really around a lot of people. And I was watching him, and you know, he's and a buddy of mine was with me, and he was very intrigued with it. He's, oh man, that's fascinating, and asking questions and this and that. And he goes, man, I'd love to have one of those, and I'd film something like this. And you know, I was telling him like, there's no way. He knows I have one, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be flying this thing around groups of people, kids. You know, doing what he was doing. It was pretty windy too Monday. So, needless to say, we talked about it a little bit, and that was that. Because back in my mind, I'm thinking, man, worst case scenario, if something happens or this thing takes a dive or whatever, you know, it's going to hurt somebody. So it just happened to be the very next day up in Marblehead, Massachusetts, a gentleman was flying a Phantom at the Memorial Day Parade, lost control of it, and smashed into a guy. So, and not to say maybe there's even a couple more out there that we really didn't hear about it, but the funny thing about it was is the gentleman that he actually hit, he knows and understands about, you know, the so-called drones and everything, and it wasn't a big deal. He's like, it hit me, I'm not hurt, everything was good. But the crazy thing was is he said the people there freaked out. Oh, my gosh, it's a drone. We got hit by a drone. They called the police. They called the ambulance. And he's like, look, I'm fine. Everything's good. I don't want to file a report. The police showed up, made a big deal, and, of course, the news got on it. So, again, here's a guy who probably didn't want any of this, just wanted to get some cool shots of a parade. And this happens, and now it's all over the news. And it's another big X against us, you know, of this, you know, so-called drone. There was a few other articles I was reading.
I saw one where they're doing the flood pictures. People were getting drone images of the flood pictures. I think it was on Yahoo or something.
Did see those. There was another funny article I was reading about a couple was picnicking in a park and happened to be a drone flying around. And they got all upset and wrote a big article and a big blog and called the news and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And then every day Wayne sends me something, you know, this person did this or this is in the news. What was the one in Chicago? Do you remember what the one that you sent me in Chicago was?
No, I forget which one that was now because there's so many of them out there.
Yeah,
from, it's mass marketed really, now.
Oh, it's point. Just every day we're hearing something about
well,
it.
Well, the news is sent.
Roman candles.
What's that?
The Canadian Roman candles drone.
Yeah, you sent me that. What's that? I read it, but that was a while ago. Do you remember that one, Andre?
Yeah, extreme guys trying to have some fun. And unfortunately now Transport Canada is going, now we have to get involved because you guys put some Roman candles on a drone or a quad. What were you thinking? You know, we're all sitting there going, oh, come on. You know, awesome fun. Why did you have to put it on YouTube? I don't know. It's just, you know, no one got hurt. It's on private property, you know, but it's still, you know, exactly this. Everybody goes into hypermedia mode, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's all self-fulfilling prophecy kind of junk. You know, it's the news media. They love the hype. It's easy news, and it just keeps falling in their laps. And then that just, in turn, fires up these guys that love to be in the media. They like the shock factor. So now you got every stupid punk and idiot that had one too many beers out there buying up these drones and firing them up. Don't read the instructions. Just go out there and try to do something ridiculous.
Right, right. And that's, you know, we talked about it before, too. But, this the other thing that really worries me is when we got something like a big company of 3DR Robotics coming out with the Solo soon, which is a really cool high-tech piece of equipment. Yeah. And now they're going to be selling them at Best Buy over here. Yeah. And every you-know-who is going to be in forking out, you know,
a
grand.
The B&H catalog was selling them all.
Oh, yeah.
They came into my mail, and I saw these Baldi rotors in there. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's... That, to me, is the worst part that scares the crap out of me.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, what else going on? A couple other little things. Real quick before we get into the Vision Air and stuff, we were out flying before we were flying the Vision Air, man. You had your little flight test H-quad out there, and you got that thing dialed in, Mike. I mean, that thing looks
pretty
good.
Well.
Pretty good?
I'm happy with it, actually, at this point.
Got your FPV set up on it, running that, DJI, right?
Yes. And then I also had the littler quad, too. That it goes fast.
The 250? Now, you weren't flying.
Yeah, I did.
Or did you fly that one,
it
too?
Was zipping around pretty fast. Actually, I think I had it because you guys were over at the car, and I was whipping that one around, and it's so fast. I love it, though. It sounds like an angry bee.
Maybe
it's
that was the one we heard when you were going over our head. Yeah,
yeah,
it does
I love
sound
that
good.
Thing.
So that was impressive, Mike.
That's just strictly FPV. I don't have no camera or recording capability, but it's fun. And naturally, I was flying that with Chad. We were chasing each other around the track there at his place.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a ton of fun that night.
That was sweet.
But, yeah, I was taking pictures of your quad, and then I saw you Instagram the one of mine. And it does look kind of
kind of creepy spiderish or whatever
it's
up
like
in here.
Angry
I was like,
looking.
That looked better than I thought it would from your perspective
those
up
big
there.
Big green glowing eyes are up there, and it just looks like it's following
and
you.
They look like fangs or something. Yeah. Get the gear on there like that.
So that was funny.
I like that. But
Your AP platform, Chris, looked rock steady.
Oh,
my
gosh.
I was really impressed.
I know. When he came, said Wayne was on a pole taking it, I'm like, man, you know what? You could pass that because that was unbelievably steady.
Yeah, that three-axis gimbal was just unbelievable.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That really was.
Because you wait, Mike's quad was moving around just trying to hover.
Right.
I'm looking at the footage.
I think
going,
I was in
Addy
mode or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, but Chris's, the horizon was stable. It was beautiful.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
like, I need to get my platform done and flying.
Yeah. It's impressive for sure. Let's see. The other thing I got going is I bought the big Rock Hobby Glider up at the Toledo show, which was, what, a month ago or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Finally pulled it out of the box.
I didn't even know you bought one. Then.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's 89-inch wingspan or something like that. It's 86. A big glider, full house.
Yep.
Is it a powered glider?
Yep, powered glider.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a V-tail. So I got tinkering with that, and funny little story was, you know, with the, to set it up full house, I'm still learning the DX9 a little bit, and you can set it up on F modes where you can program umpteen million switches on your radio and have it do whatever you want. So I was tinkering around with that, and I'm still kind of learning with that, setting it up full house because I wanted the camber and the reflux and the crow for landing and everything. And I couldn't get the flaps to work. And a lot of times, even like on the DX8, you know, when you're setting up flaps, you have to physically go in and turn the flaps on and then set them up, or else that channel won't even work. So I'm going through the radio. Everything looks good. I couldn't figure it out. And I actually spent about 2 hours going back through my F modes, changing things around. Nothing. And I was like, wow, this is really strange. I was starting to get frustrated. And I thought, what are the odds that maybe this Y harness on these flaps doesn't work? And I'm can't be. So after tinkering around probably another 15 minutes, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to check it. So pulled the receiver back out. Actually had to pull the wings off again for about the fifth time. Took the flap servo, pulled the aileron out, plugged it in, worked great. So put it back together, took the Y harness out, put a new Y harness in, and guess what? Everything worked perfect. So there I was over 2 hours when I should have just checked the Y harness.
It's the simplest thing.
Yes.
It'll cause you more agony and pain than you would.
Yes.
And it's so aggravating when it's that simple. It's like,
right.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think, I know Wayne and I have been talking about it for a while, and Andre, you've been talking about it. I finally broke down, and I think I'm going to turn this big glider, since it's bigger, a little bigger than the Radian, and set it up as an FPV setup, because we've been wanting to do the Sailplanes FPV for quite a while. So I ordered a good camera. I got a FPV setup and everything. And finally, I know you ordered the head plate goggles a while ago and should be here maybe within a week or two. A
couple weeks, yeah.
And finally, I was like, that's it. I'm ordering them now. So I put in a pre-order for the head plate goggles. Should be here first part of July. So the other reason, too, I found out Wayne wanted to order the head plate was not only, you know, to do some more FPV naturally, but I also found out, you know, I have my eye on the Phantom 3.
Mm-hmm.
Zil plugged directly into the controller of the Phantom 3, and I can watch everything right through that, which is really nice. I mean, more of the immersion FPV experience. So that was kind of the other reason.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm envious. That'll be nice.
So I can't wait. I'm excited to do the FPV sailplane stuff. And I think, Andre, you're kind of itching up that way too, aren't you?
Yeah, the guys were really chatting me up after I had a really good flight with the Radian, like, because I had put the camera up. And everybody's like, oh, that would be so good. I'm like, I got the Bixler for that. But we'll see. I may do it. I can get a. I thought about just picking up a second canopy so I can cut into it and try it all out. But We'll see, because I had a really awesome flying experience with that. I think this is my second or third flight, and it was just wonderful just to get up. I mean, how does the Rock fly? Have you flown it?
I haven't even flown it yet. It's all ready to go, and I was going to try to maiden it like on Monday a little bit, but it was really windy here Monday, and it ain't even worth it. So it's ready to go.
It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I flew the Radiant, I had that 20-minute flight that we talked about, and that's where I had the video camera. The second flight, I didn't have my timer. Once I jump this thing over to the new radio, I'm going to be able to have my percentage throttle time, and then I'm also going to be able to have my total flight time.
Oh, okay.
But I figured I was up for about 30, 35 minutes, and I had to come down because my neck was getting tired, and I wanted to fly my other planes because I was running out of time. But it was high winds. It was a really decent wind, but it was the first time I'd really, really hit some decent thermals. One of them I hit, and I thought the plane was going to do an axis roll.
Uh-huh.
I was like, wow. And it just kept going. And we had a thing where one of the fields was being used by a bunch of cricket players, and the other field, which we normally land on, had a track meet going on. People were running on the track. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to put this thing up. And I never came down. I could have probably flown for at least another 20, 30 minutes. Oh, but finally, everybody cleared the fields, and we got the other planes out.
Uh-huh.
But it was I've never had a flying experience like that.
I knew it. Yeah. Yep. As soon as you catch that first thermal, and you're just like, oh, this is the best, you know?
It was exactly. So I would use the thermals, get up, and then I'd use the wind, go over to another field, and then I'd come back, and then we hit another thermal. And my dad had his Bixler, and it was the first time I could really see the difference in the aircraft.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't slow down like how I could slow down with the Radiant. And you could see the Bixler start getting all start washing out, needing some speed to keep itself level.
Right.
So it was just I'm tickled to pink with this airplane.
Stuttering there, Andre.
Yeah. it is like you guys all. I'm preaching to the choir here as far as this
airplane
goes.
That's why we're laughing because we know. Yep.
And now I've got another friend. So I may put a camera on it and just see how the reception goes, just to track it, because it's one of those things I can, and take it from there. But I think my next purchase for this airplane will probably be the Taranis with the and get the variometer. But for now, it's I can just put that thing in my car. I'm gonna do the wing sleeve thing so I can make sure the wings are nice and safe. But it's one of those planes that's just always gonna go into the car and be there with me, because if something happens or the field is busy, well, we put that thing up, and then when I landed it, I brought it in and dropped it right at my feet, it's just,
What's really funny is you'll see it. It'll happen to you too. Is Wayne and I will be out there with the Radians, and of course they're way up there. If we're in a thermal, or whatever. Here's two guys that look like idiots just standing out in the middle of the field, looking straight up into the sky. Or a couple of times, we get the lawn chairs out, we get our drinks, we're lounging out, and here's two goofy guys out in the middle of a field with lawn chairs with a couple iced teas, laid back looking at the sky,
like, what the?
And people, now you're going to add FPV cameras.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's a road that goes right through our field there, and these people literally go and they slow way down, look over, and then they're looking out their window and they're looking up in the sky like, I don't see anything. What are they doing?
That's what I teased. We got aluminum foil hats on, just to add to the fact. Like, man, they'll be calling the white man with the white.
Exactly.
You know who else may have just gotten hooked? I was talking to Josh Scott last night.
Oh, yeah.
And he got when he was out west, he said he got to try slope soaring.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, man, I really like it. He goes, it's real relaxing. Uh-huh. I says, yep, don't we know it.
So I can just see it now that we're out there in our lawn chairs with the head plate goggles on. People are really going to be like, the police are going to show up, I think.
They showed up at our last
We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go there.
Oh, we're going there.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a lot more topics before that. We'll run out of time.
Maybe that's a good point. Maybe we should get right to it first before.
Well, we'll talk about it first, and then we'll go. But Radiant's just I've been wanting to find something that flies as good as that and is as much fun, but it really, I mean, I even have the Mystique, paid a lot of money, and I don't fly it that much. Mm-hmm. I'll pull out the Radium before I actually go to the Mystique, you know, just it's easier, throw it together, put it up, you know. And like you said, Andre, really, when, you know, once you get going and summer rolls around, 30 minutes, really, that's, you know, that's pretty easy to do. You'll see yourself easily up around an hour. You know, no problem.
It was in the end of it, I was burning off the power on that battery pack because I know I can do 4 minutes. So the other one I'm really keeping my eye on, my one of my Instagram buddies, Scott from Australia. He hits you up often too on Instagram. Mm-hmm. He's been flying he had to whip it, and then he's trying the LaBelle. It looks, that, you know, I could see myself liking the LaBelle. I just don't know how much my shoulder is going to like the LaBelle, but
The idea is not to put so much. If your shoulder starts hurting, then you're throwing it wrong. And it's one of those things. You're just going to just crank it up, or you don't throw it. You don't give it, you know, the full spin.
Just using body momentum.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, if you guys bring one out for during Flight Fest, I might try it. And, you know,
I mean, Wayne and I found out right off the bat that the Whippet was way harder on the shoulder than anything else, like the LaBelle or anything was.
And learning to throw it, you got to finesse it. You can't just crank it, and then it comes and does some really weird things. Yes. So.
It was pretty funny, which hopefully next podcast we'll get our review. We got to get a little bit more flight time on it and stuff, but we'll get a review
on
it.
We need a break in the weather.
Or the wind. Oh. That's the big thing. It's been so windy around here.
It's looking good.
I'd actually like to get Mike on it, too, because he has
And I am so thankful I did not fly that day because it was catastrophe city for me.
So. All right, anything else to add to any of that? Other than that, we'll jump on the night vision air.
Night vision.
All right. Okay, so we've had, or actually I've had, the night vision air for quite a while.
Thankfully.
And put quite a few batteries through this thing. I'll talk about it and go through the specs a little bit. Actually, the vision air has been out probably for about 2 years, and Horizon Hobby decided, and it was kind of a good idea, they same airplane, basically, but what they did is they put internal LED lights in it because the wing and fuselage and everything are actually hollow. So they put internal LED lights in it, and they put in the new AS3X, I want to say 636 receiver in it. And what they did is added their safe system. So it has the panic and recovery mode, and you can set it up for... let me think. Did it have the beginner? No, it actually just had the panic and recovery mode on it and with the AS3X. But the old regular Vision Air just had just basic AS3X. And that was one thing that kind of steered me away a little bit because they kind of marketed it as an intermediate first-time 3D airplane. And then they come out with all these other planes with a panic recovery mode. And I thought, man, if this is something, you know, they kind of want to market for intermediate people wanting to learn 3D, where's the panic button? You know, well, I think they listened to a lot of people and they threw it in there. Plus, they put the lights in it. So I was really excited to get a hold of this thing. Just real quick, we'll run through some specs. It's a 45-inch wingspan. It's about 51 ounces, which it's pretty heavy. If you look at it, it's a big airplane. Mm-hmm. It's got a thick wing on it. Yeah. It's got a brushless 10 motor on it, 13-gram digital high-speed servos, standard 40-amp ESC. Runs on a 2200 battery. I did notice it likes a higher C battery, C rating on it. Now, what I was kind of doing a little bit was comparing it to the Sukhoi because that's basically something that's really close. Now, with the Sukhoi, it also has a brushless Power 10 motor on it. Now, the strange thing was I think the KVs are different. I know the Sukhoi has a 1250 KV. The Night Vision Air, I'm not sure. Couldn't find the KV on it. The other thing with the Sukhoi, it's quite a bit lighter. It only weighs like 40 ounces.
It's 1250 KV.
Oh, is it 1250? So it basically has the same motor in it. 44-inch wingspan, so it's very close. Now, the crazy thing was flying the Night Vision Air, and Wayne, I know you didn't get a chance to fly it, but you were out there just about every time I did fly it. To me, it didn't fly like the Sukhoi. Now, right. granted, I don't think it's supposed to. I think it's more leaning towards the newer 3D. You know, it's mm-hmm. got the bigger, thicker wing on it. It does fly a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I found out about it, now, again, these are just comparisons, not that it was flying bad or anything, but it didn't feel as precise mm-hmm. as a Sukhoi, where, Andre, you know, when you put that Sukhoi in any kind of position, that sucker locks in, man, mm-hmm. and it stays
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, the AS3X really, really plays in nicely on that plane, and the design of the plane, too, yes.
Right. And it also, the Sukhoi seemed, maybe it's a weight thing in the slimmer wing or whatever, the Sukhoi just seemed to have more power.
I agree.
You agree?
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Well, for the limited time I flew, I could tell that.
Flying the Night Vision Air, it definitely didn't feel like it had a, you know, to me, I could use more power. But again, it didn't.
Is it a prop size difference?
That's a good question. That I don't know. I can't even remember what the Sukhoi had. It either had a 12.4 or 12.6 on it. And I think the Vision Air has a 12.4.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So I just think with the bigger, thicker wing and it being heavier, it just flies more like a heavier airplane.
I thought it was even going to take off quicker on the takeoff.
Yeah.
And it didn't for
right.
me. I was a little surprised
right,
by that.
Right. But again, with the AS3X, when you did fly it, Mike, I mean, it was windy. We had a storm blowing in, Andre. The picture I sent of the quad when it was flying with the storms around, I mean, it was really windy. And the Night Vision Air really handled it good. I mean, Mike was cruising around, very stable, and no bouncer. I mean, it flew really well. So the thing I did like about the Night Vision Air, though, and really caught us, is the thing is beautiful. Like, if it's starting to get dusk or right around dark, that thing lights up really like a Christmas tree.
Or hanging in a tree. Oh,
yeah, We're going there. But, I mean, you know, that type of lights where you see the whole profile of the airplane and everything, it's just beautiful in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing I did notice for me, if it got really dark out, even though the thing does light up, when it got kind of a little bit far away, it was still kind of hard to see what direction, because once it got out a little ways, the lights just, it looked like a just big glowing ball. Yeah exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But again, if there's anybody out there that is looking to get into 3D, would like a bigger plane.
It is kind of odd they didn't use, I mean, it looks like it's all white lights.
Yeah.
If they could have just colored like the nose somehow with an LED, and just to keep orientation
you know
at
what?
Night,
that's
would have been
point.
Really nice. Because I do that with all my night flights.
Yeah.
I put like green on front, red on back. It helps a lot. I mean, just having just a few color LEDs just to keep your orientation when you get out there.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
I'm surprised,
Mike,
they didn't do that.
Yeah, maybe just like you said, maybe put one color in the nose or
exactly.
one color. Now, what Peter did is I think it's still taped on the tail. He put a little. Just this little tiny red LED light taped to the tail, and you just push it, and it lights up.
Okay.
Now you could see that a little bit. So yeah,
anything like that would help for sure.
That's a really good point.
They both have the same motor and prop.
They do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, that's really
okay.
That's fascinating.
That's weird because this was definitely slow.
Yeah,
I thought
it flew slower.
Well,
it flew fine,
there
but
big
it was
difference in fuselage.
Yep.
In the wing.
In
the wing is quite a bit different.
Right. Right. And it did, doing the slow maneuvers, you could tell it was a little bit better at the slow maneuvers.
Sure.
Yeah, I could tell. Landing, I didn't really notice a difference between the two landing. They seem, pretty much the same, same to me. But again, anybody out there, looking to get into 3D.
Landing, huh?
Yeah.
I got to figure that one out.
Anybody looking to get into a good 3D plane, especially if you're looking to, something to fly at dusk or at night, you can't beat it. The only thing I'm going to gripe about this, and it's not a big gripe, but I know you can pick up the Sukhoi for like $229.
Mm-hmm.
The Night Vision Air, I think, is still at $299. Mm-hmm. Now, what I think they did here, and I kind of understand it a little bit, is the Horizon's been dropping their prices on a lot mm-hmm. of stuff. Back when things were still a little high, the regular Vision Air was still selling for that, the $299. So if they bring out this all-new Night Vision Air with all the lights and everything on and then turn around and sell it for $229, there's going to be a lot of people probably a little ticked off about that. So they kept the same price, upgraded the receiver and put the lights in it, So I kind of see where they're coming from with that. But if the thing ever does come on sale, it might be something.
I think I would be more tempted to put lights on the Sequoia.
That's what Andre said.
And call it a day.
Yeah.
Because in my personal opinion, I did like the Sequoia better.
Yeah, that's
and
what
flight flying for the limited flying I did do.
So Andre, your worries are okay because you bought the Sequoia and we praised all about that, and then we had the night vision.
We had hypes about that.
Oh, you guys were all going to buy night vision.
I think you're good. I think you stayed good, bud.
So
with the Sequoia.
I still fly that plane a lot more. Actually, I think we mentioned last podcast, right, Chris, where I one day took out the Fun Cub and the Sukhoi, and it was night and day.
Night and day.
Like, hey, I can hover both airplanes.
Yeah. Right.
But I should try and light up and see how it would look and glow without cutting into the wing. Just put a bunch of LEDs on the inside of the belly and just see how she looks.
Face them inward and see what you get. Like. Yeah. It'd be interesting. So, all right. Any question? Was there anything about the Night Vision Air? Anything you guys were wondering? Because I know, Wayne, you didn't get to fly it.
I begged for him to fly it first. He's like, oh, no, you go. I'm like, oh, gee.
Any questions on that, Andre?
We know how the Sukhoi likes to land. Like, it wants to come in. And it's funny. Here's an airplane that I still, every time I take off, I have to do my approach practices just to get comfortable landing it. I know how to land it, and I know it wants to come in with a fair bit of clip in my case, I find. Mm-hmm. But was the Night Vision Air like that?
I'd say it was a little bit slower. It just seemed to slow down a little bit more than the Sukhoi. But here, the funny thing was, I was like you, Andre. When we first started flying the Sukhoi, we were burning that thing in landing. But by the end of the day, I don't know what we were doing really different, but we could really get that thing to slow down and come in and no problem.
Yeah,
I think it was a comfort thing. I think the more we flew it, the more comfortable we... Because I know the first time you flew it, you didn't like the first couple three batteries you put through it.
No.
Then you handed it to me, and once I got the feel for it, it was all right.
Is that the
and
one
you
we wanted
back
to put the bigger wheels on?
We did put the bigger wheels on.
So maybe that helped with landing or not?
No, I don't think so. No, but...
There's definitely a minimal stall speed to that one, but I completely agree with that because it's one of those. The first landing is just trash, and then after that, I'm like, okay, I got you. I'm still, I'll own that plane a year in September, and I'm still running the same prop. I should probably go rebalance it and clean up the tips because I come in and I scrub the ground
Is that the toughest prop you have ever seen?
Man. And outside of the master air screws that I run on my very first scratch build cargo plane, and they're now on the Sky Mule.
Uh-huh.
That prop is just, that thing is dynamite. Yeah. I mean, I hit the gravel and it goes zzz,
yeah.
And the motor makes a sound because I've come in and it's like, it's still good.
Yep.
And I've yet to buy a spare.
Wow.
I know. I mean,
that's amazing.
We had multiple nose overs with that thing. And then, of course, when I crashed the Sukhoi and augered that thing and it never broke the prop.
I can't even believe it.
It was unreal. All right. So there you have it. That's the Night Vision Air. All right.
So if you were to vote, if you had to, plunk down your money outside of the price difference between for the lights, what would you do?
Right now, I think it would be the Sukhoi. I just, for some strange reason, I just like the way that thing flew.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah. I don't, there's no major reason or something I can explain to you why, I'd pick one of, I just, for some reason, liked the Sukhoi better.
That was more fun.
Yeah, I just enjoyed it better. I like the, even though, again, it's the same power setup, and I know we talked about it when we were flying, I was asking Wayne, I'm like, I thought for sure they were the same motor and everything, but this thing just doesn't feel like, the Sukhoi. I just like that little extra punch the Sukhoi had.
Yeah.
So
you can get yourself out. It was funny. I was flying it with, I think I was testing out my 65C battery packs for the fun of it. And I was chasing the guys running their little gunslinger P-51 Mustangs.
Yeah.
And I was just going after them. And of course, we're going down, we're just doing circuits and I'm doing axi rolls the entire way down the circuit because I can't. Right?
Yeah,
I'm not
right.
losing speed.
Yeah.
And they're all like, stop that. It's really distracting. And we're like, ah. I'll throw it into high rates and just go, you know, and scare myself silly, you know. But I just, yeah, that plane and I, it's been one of my favorite purchases so far.
Oh, now, this would have sold me if it had a tree avoidance button, for sure. You know, that would have been a great feature.
All right, you want to get into this, Mike? Okay.
I'm going to open up the closet.
Now, cue the music here. As we kind of hinted to on the last podcast, I don't really even know where to begin, but Mike just had an epic crash. And I feel bad for him. I really do.
Oh, should I give the rundown kind of what I got out of it?
Well, sure. Why don't you start and get your perspective, and then we'll kind of work into it of what happened, what you basically did, and how everything played out. But, I'll set it up.
All right.
You know, we were testing the Sukhoi. It was getting almost dark. I mean, it was at dusk. Night Visionaire. It was almost dusk. We had the lights on. The problem we had, Andre, was the grass was really high, and I didn't put no bigger wheels on. So we walked down to the baseball field to do the takeoff and landings. And there is a big tree line
right
there.
There's a fence, too.
And a fence.
That I was flying to get air in the air before the fence.
So we got down there, and it was pretty windy. But, you know, again, that thing handles the wind pretty good. We had that storm rolling in, but so... Mike took off. Everything was good. Now go ahead, Mike.
All right. So I'm taking off, and I did one roll. I think it was loop.
Yeah.
And I think I might have did a roll.
I think you did.
And then I came in, and I thought I was going to land, and I saw I was getting too close to the pitcher's mound. So
right.
I lifted it up. Yep. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do another pass, because obviously it wasn't going to be. It would have been better, actually, than making another pass, I find out now. But so I go to make a round, and I could have swore I was so much close. My perspective, obviously, is shot, because they kind of nonchalantly warned me. They're like, now watch out for them trees. But in my head, I'm like, I'm way closer than them trees. I don't know why they're warning me. I should have heeded to it, you know, and I don't even know why I didn't gain lift. Next thing I know, bam, right in the tree. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Now, I do this on the simulator, too, so I should have knew that, okay, I cannot perceive trees and distances with the planes when I'm flying, because I always hit them on the simulator. It was almost like just another simulator effect. I'm like, okay, there's no reset button. And I just wrecked the Artisan on our last test, so I'm like, I'm in the negative. You know, I took so many steps backwards and even wanting to fly a different plane at this point. And then we take the walk. They were generous enough to walk with me, and we're going to evaluate what where it's at. And we're like, well, it's lit up. We should see it. You know, we really struggled looking up in the canopy to find it. We knew right where it hit.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many feet this thing. It was at the top of one of the higher trees
probably.
There along Jackson's baseball field.
The funny, let's back up here just a little bit.
Okay, I might have missed some.
No, you're good, but Wayne and I will give our little perspective there.
And I was begging Wayne to fly first. I didn't realize he didn't fly at all. I just now learned that. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, before we got going, I said, okay, who wants to fly it? I said, Wayne, you want to go? And Wayne's like, no, let Mike go.
I know.
Let Mike go. Mike's like, no, I might crash. You know, kind of joking around.
Well,
I might
not
crash
really
it.
Joking around. But.
So anyway, you did... But the crazy thing was when you did that go around and you come up and you were turning left, and again, I don't have the best perspective.
But you guys obviously did. I mean, because you guys said, now watch out. You said it kind of casual. Like, I would have been screaming if I had the perspective guys had. but it happened quick.
Yeah, my
too.
Thing and my depth perception isn't that good anyway. So when I seen you heading for the trees, I thought, maybe it's me. Mike's, you are. You're a good, competent pilot. You really are. You do a good job. So I thought, you know what? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm. And the closer you got, I thought, I don't know, man. Maybe I ought to say something. And about that time,
Wayne said,
Wayne jumps in and goes, trees. Or did you say pull up?
And you know what? I didn't even try to pull up. I'm like, oh, I'm so much closer than them trees in my head. I'm like, what are they doing? I mean,
the bad part from my point
of
view is I'm the one that had the good angle. I'm the one that's on that side. I can see, and he didn't just clip the tree.
No,
he put it in the middle of the forest.
Full throttle, no pulling up, no turning left or right. It was just
even throttle,
and it was this huge thunderstorm. Sound like 15 deer running through the woods when this plane hit this tree.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought, well, man, maybe he just blew through the other side, you know? Because we couldn't...
That tree is still swaying.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so shit because I wrecked the artisan. I'm like, another one. I can't. My nerves just can't do this no more. I have ulcers the size of grapefruit.
Poor stuff. Mike. If you could just see the look on his face.
And I mean, oh my gosh.
So we're
out there. We're looking up in the trees, and then it starts drizzling. Well, I had my H quad, my transmitter, yeah, everything out right in the yard, clear down at the soccer field, because this and it started drizzling, and I didn't know how hard it was going to start raining. Right. Well, it ended up not raining too hard, but yeah, as I'm walking out, a cop's coming.
Yes,
he's like, "Oh, what are you guys yes, flying?"
The cops show
he
up.
He wanted to know all the answers, yeah, the basic questions. How high can you go? I'm like, "Can you just go talk to them? I got to run and put some electronics away. I'm so sorry, you know." I don't know what he had spoke with you guys at all. But,
it was funny because
he was so intrigued about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too intriguing when it's sitting up there in a tree glowing, you know? I mean, it's bright, you know,
right,
lit up there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Well, at first I wasn't sure because a lot of times the cops, they do come out and watch.
He was nice. Yeah, I mean, he was really super cool.
Yeah,
but I just didn't have time to talk at that point
right
with him about things. I had to start addressing how I was going to get this thing out.
But at first I thought, I seen him out, you know, heading our way, and at first I thought, you know what, maybe he's just coming over because three guys just decided to walk over in the woods. What are they doing? But the fact of the matter was he was actually watching Mike fly, and he was so intrigued at watching that thing light. He goes, man, I'd never seen an airplane like that. And he was doing loops and rolls, and he goes, I seen it coming around, and he goes, it disappeared. And he goes, I didn't know where it went. So he seen us walking into the woods, so he just come over and wanted to know, hey, what happened?
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
He felt really bad.
Oh, he did.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
So he didn't even know I wrecked when
no,
I was walking out there.
No, he no, had no clue.
Oh, my god!
So we showed him, like, well, see that little glowing white thing there? Top of the tree. So
I go back to the car. I get a telescoping saw and that I had on me. Why? You know, I don't know. But anyways, so I go back, and I guess Wayne had already attempted climbing
yes,
the tree at this
yeah
point. I appreciate your efforts. Or thank God you didn't get hurt.
Well,
and it was up a wild cherry tree, and it did have a lot of limbs on, but it happened to be a lot of dead ones
yeah
at the lower part,
yeah,
and it was very dangerous. You put your weight on there, they were breaking off.
Right.
Yes, they did.
So I was debating climbing. I mean, like, well, if he struggled as bad as they were saying, I'm like, I just can't do it, and I feel so obligated. I'm like, I have to get this out of the tree, because
yeah,
I'm like, I just felt like dirt, you know, and I'm like, I wasn't going to let it go.
Right. Wayne almost fell out. I was like,
oh,
Wayne, don't bother.
Man,
don't
man
go
God
up there.
Thank
yeah
start breaking. Like,
and
okay,
that one time, man, you started coming down and then you caught yourself,
yep,
and then he's trying to get out, your foot got jammed. Yeah. He couldn't get his foot out.
And looking at it now, even if you would have got up to that limb,
yeah,
you weren't going to shake
no
it out or
yeah
anything. There yeah was, because you wouldn't believe what I went through to get this thing
yeah
out. Because okay, so I'm like, I'm analyzing it, and I'm looking, I see another tree beside the tree it's stuck in, and it's a straighter type tree with not many there was limbs on it, but not many. And I bow hunt, so I have tree climber tree stands,
uh-huh,
portable climbing tree stands.
Yeah.
They bite into the tree as
right
you go up. And I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to run to my dad's, get some tree stands. I think I can get this down.
Right.
And they had other venues. You had
yeah
a picnic to go to. Wayne had
right
something going on.
So,
and I'm like, I'll be fine.
Yeah,
don't worry about
right
it, you know.
So at this time, it's probably, what, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It's getting dark
yeah
quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah,
yeah,
really getting
by
dark.
By the time I get to my parents, it's almost dark.
And the funny thing was, before you actually...
And I knew it was going to rain that evening,
exactly
too. That's another reason
yeah
I had... I'm like, I have to get it out
right
tonight. I don't want these electronics to get drenched.
And the funny thing was, is right before that, too, you know, when we're analyzing this, we're rehashing all the crash stories going, well, we can't use the pipe. You know, we can't use
you
this
mentioned the bow.
Yeah,
and I'm
like,
oh my gosh, till we perfect the bow technique,
yeah,
it's going to be drenched
right
anyway.
So I said, who's going to go get the kid's bow and arrow?
Yeah,
you know?
And you mentioned that, and I'm like, oh, that's just going to take too long.
Yeah,
I know,
right.
I know my mean accuracy. With instruments like that, it would have been forever.
Okay,
so
let me paint this
okay
picture a little bit so everybody can understand. It's 9 o'clock. It's getting dark. It's kind of spitting rain.
Mm-hmm.
I had to
and
go
there's storms coming.
Yeah, there's storms,
there's
all
storms
around
coming.
I had to go. Wayne had to go. I had to go to a cookout.
You guys were begging me
yes
to wait till morning.
Desperately, desperately, Mike, please don't come back by yourself. I don't want you out here. It's going to rain. I don't want you to fall. Please don't do that. So you left, and I think I called you on your way home. Mike, please don't do this. Mike, don't worry about it. It's just a foam airplane. Don't worry about it.
And it was roughly 40 feet, I would guess, in the tree.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least 40
feet.
Trying
to give them some height perspective on this thing.
So I said, okay, I got to go to a cookout. When you get there, text me. Let me know what's going on. I'll text you, you know, every half hour, see what's going on. So I'm at my cookout, and I texted you, and you're like, I just got here. I'm setting up, blah, blah, blah. So
I ended up driving right through the field because I wasn't carrying all this gear clear out to the woods. I'm like, if I get in trouble, so be it. I am not. It's getting later and later. I'm like, I want to get this taken care of. I just drive the Explorer right through the field out to the woods.
Right. So a little bit later, I think I text you and you said, "Well, I'm working on it, or you know, I'm climbing up the tree or whatever." So I wait a little while longer,
and I embelt myself to the tree, which was kind of a pain because I had two different tree stands. I had to go up to a Y and then put another tree stand in to go up the rest of the way of the tree. Uh-huh. I had all this schemed in my head on what I was going to do, and I didn't have all the proper equipment. Half my equipment's at my house. Half of the equipment's at my dad's house, but my dad had the majority of what I needed. Because I have hat lights and stuff I would have loved to have had. It would have helped me a ton, but I'm carrying the
lantern light. Flashlight.
And I'm trying to hold that up in the tree. And anyways, go ahead.
So finally, I think it was probably around 11 o'clock. I think I texted you a couple times and I didn't hear anything. So when I got to the cookout, I was telling my wife what was going on. She's like, oh man, that's not good. You can't leave him out there by himself, you know.
I'm trying to convey confidence. I'm like, I'll belt myself in the tree. Don't worry, and stuff like that.
So I think I ate a burger and said hello to everybody. And I'm like, I gotta go. So I left and I drove back to the field. Now it spit rain a little bit here and there, but everything was pretty good. Now I got within a half a mile of that field, and it started downpouring. I mean,
you're jumping
hard.
Ahead of my story.
Okay, yeah, go ahead then.
Because okay, I'm going up the tree, and I'm sweating bullets because I'm cutting some big limbs down, hand-sawing. I mean, when you're hand-sawing that many limbs, you're going to burn a sweat pretty quick. So I'm going up, sawing some larger limbs just to get to the height I needed. And I had a telescoping saw that I carried up as well, which telescoped about 15 feet. Because I'm not climbing the tree the plane was stuck in. I'm climbing a tree parallel beside it.
Right.
But I knew my telescoping saw would reach once I got to a certain level.
Uh-huh.
And so I started sawing, and this limb was probably almost 8 inches around, and I knew that was going to be a feat with a telescoping saw, saw. I'm like, I'm going to probably dehydrate up here because I'm working so fast to try to beat there. Well, all of a sudden, I'm hearing thunder and lightning, and I'm up here with a metal telescoping skull in the woods and holding it up, you know, 40 feet in the air. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like a lightning rod at this point. You know, this is going to nail me. This is the dumbest thing. So I'm sawing, and I'm like, oh, gosh, when this branch falls, it's going to knock me out of the tree because there's so much brush on it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, and my stand's all sideways. It wasn't biting as well as I'd hoped. So everything's just kind of jittery. And so my saw got wedged into the limb. So I couldn't get my saw out. So I'm stuck with my telescoping saw in the tree. I'm like, I can't even get my equipment out of the tree. What am I going to do? I started pulling on it as hard as I could. And this limb's just sway. That's why I was saying if Wayne got up there to move the limb, I pulled with all my might. And I could not break the limb. I was about 3/4 way through it. And it was pinched so bad. I'm like, I'm not going to get my saw. Finally, I just heaved with all my might. And I broke the saw free. I'm like, thank God. So I came in and I cut it on the other end. And it started falling. I'm like, uh-oh, I better. So I'm like, I got to get closer to the base of my tree or it's going to knock me out of the stand. I got as close as I could as it was falling. And branches are just scraping me as it's falling down. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I thought for sure it's going to. I was belted, but I'm like, I'm going to be hanging upside down by my belt trying to get as this branch is falling. And it did fall kind of smooth. And so I'm like, oh, great. I got the plane down. It hasn't started raining. I could see lightning and stuff. And so then I'm slowly going down, and I dropped one part of my stand, the climber part. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, because that's going to slow my descent so bad now. And I could see the plane was down. It's still dry.
Yep.
And then it just started sheets of rain coming down. As the plane's already on the ground, I'm like, oh, if Chris or somebody would have been here while it was on the ground,
it
would have been perfect.
Right.
But it's taken me another half hour just to get out of this tree with all my gear and stands and everything else and transferring from one stand to the other. And I'm just soaking wet. I mean, soaked all the way through coming out of the tree. And I get down finally, and then I think I grabbed the plane and I put it, and that's about when you approach.
Yeah.
And you're like, did you pull the battery? I'm like, no, I just got it. And I said the light was out because you thought the light would still be illuminated in the tree. It was pitch dark.
Was
so I'm
gone.
Trying to locate it with my lantern, like,
oh,
couldn't even find it in the dark. But anyways, so it started pouring. And
I mean, raining
and
hard.
And even when I tilted the plane, I'm like, it just poured water out of the fuselage. I'm like, oh, this is not good. All my efforts, and it still got drenched.
So I show up at the field. Now, I didn't know you were parked, like, way back there. So I drove around, went to the parking lot, and your vehicle wasn't there. And I'm like, huh, he must have got it out. Or if he didn't, we're coming back in the morning. So I'm like, everything was good. So I'm driving out, and out of the corner of my eye, I look over, and I see this light. And I was like...
And I thought the police would see this light 40 feet in the tree. Like, it's a spotlight, essentially, is what this thing is. I'm like, I'm going to draw attention.
I was like, well, where's he at? I see this light over here. So I pull up in through the yard and the grass and over by the baseball
field. I
heard you
yelling. I'm like, thank God.
Go running over there. Sure enough, there's Mike sitting over there.
I had the plane in hand. But then you helped me get the stands and stuff out. And I'm just drenched.
Oh,
I was so
we
drenched.
Were both soaking wet.
It's about 11:30 at night. So all my efforts, it was about 2.5 hours to get this plane out of the tree. But
it was unbelievable. I mean, that has got to be one of the
I was
most...
so determined, though, because I'm like, I wrecked another plane. Uh-huh. I'm putting 100% in getting this out of the tree. I have ideas. I think I can do it.
And you did, too, because I got to give you a lot of credit. I honestly, the way
I even
that
have screw-in
was...
steps. I was debating putting screw-in steps all the way up that tree. And so, I mean, I had all kinds of good ideas. Well, maybe not safe ideas, but good ideas to get this thing out of the tree.
Oh, I don't recommend any of this to anybody.
No, especially in lightning and then holding a metal saw up over your head 15, 16 feet when you're already up there 30 feet. But, and then the sad part is I got up and went turkey hunting. I got up at 3 in the morning.
You did?
So I got home, bed, midnight, 12:30, and then I went turkey hunting.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was sick, if you remember.
Yeah, that's right.
I had a cold. I just took my last antibiotic this morning. Oh. Jeez. I was on 2 dosages of antibiotics.
I mean, what a
amoxicillin, 2,000 milligrams, and then I went to 848 or something.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the most epic crash recovery stories I've ever.
You guys have to. I wish you could have saw me in my tree stands and stuff just to figure out what exactly I did to get it out there, because I don't know if you really understand what I was doing
do
a
just,
little bit.
Yeah, because I've been around that stuff.
And my stands are super safe, but for some reason it was so little it wasn't biting as well as I'd hoped.
Right, right. But I was just freaking out. I mean, we went to that cookout, and I was like, I got to go.
You were so shocked when I actually had the plane.
I was.
Especially within that short time, 2 hours I had it out.
Yeah. Because I kept asking, Wayne, what do I do? How do I get him not to come out here? And he's like, hey, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You know?
you knew. I mean, I wasn't going to sleep. There's no way I would have went to sleep knowing that plane's up in that tree. I couldn't deal with it.
So, but the good thing is all the electronics work. Everything's good.
You might have to put some expanding foam in the wing, though, where the holes were. I don't know if that'll work or not.
Yeah, we got a few little things to get for it, but it's no big deal.
And amazing, you said the electronics, you left them dry a couple days.
Yeah, everything's fine.
I was really worried about the ESC and stuff.
My battery, my 2200 was completely gone. I put it on a trickle charge for a couple hours, and then boom, charged right up. Seems to be holding a charge, so everything's good.
I told my wife, and I'm like, excellent. Oh my gosh, I wrecked another one. I said, I just can't deal with this. It's getting too costly and too nerve-wracking. Oh my gosh, my perception of them trees to this day, I'm like, oh, I'm so much closer.
Yeah, that was, I don't know. It's just one of the, everybody does it though. I've done it. I've seen numerous people do it there. You know, it's just one of those things. It's not a big deal.
Sickening.
Everybody does
sickening.
It. I mean,
well, no one got hurt. The good part of the story, no one was hurt.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
Got taken care of.
I slammed my radiant into the field goal post there on the field when I thought I was 30 feet away from it, and the thing slams into it. So, I mean, it happens. It's not a big deal. But we got to keep you going. Just because you crash, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it. Honestly, I'm ready to throw the towel in, guys. And I know that's not encouraging for other flyers.
No,
oh, my gosh.
That is forbidden, man.
It was pretty epic, though.
You know, we all do the epic crashes. Oh my gosh.
I can't even believe it.
All right. So that's our crash story for the
And I keep thinking of that one guy who had his plane stuck at the top of a tree. And he said it looked like a Christmas star or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, well, mine was a lidded star. Yeah. I top that because mine's lighted. You can see it all year, all night long. I was shocked, though, because I thought it would have illumination when I got back, and it was dead, which you thought maybe saved the battery since it drained completely, that it didn't ruin any electronics as it got wet because it had no power.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. I definitely thought the battery was going to last a little longer than it did just drawing off the lights.
Well, those lights are, they're pulling 12 volts, right? So over a period of 2 hours, you probably, was it out by the time you got back, Mike?
Yes. I got there probably it was around 9:30, I think, when I got back out there. So it would have been on for about an hour.
All right.
Yeah, that would probably do it.
Yeah, it did. It was completely gone. All right, so now while we're still kind of on the Night Vision Air and Horizon Hobby and everything, we're going to run through some products that they've either released or some of them might even I don't think they're even out yet, but they released a bunch of stuff here, made some announcements, and we'll run through them real quick. And first thing, if you guys haven't seen it or whatever, they kind of made another first for beginners here. They brought out the Hobby Zone Sportman S Plus in a bind and fly and a ray fly. Now, have you guys got a chance to look at this and see the features on this?
Yeah, I looked at everything he sent me. So.
Now, again, it's something I really would have never thought of. It comes with GPS enabling, AS3X, panic recovery mode, has a beginner, intermediate, and expert modes, just like a lot of the other planes that they have. But here's the crazy thing with this thing. One, it has auto land on
That's what I noticed.
Two, it also has a holding pattern that will let it return to the fixed point of where it took off. So if you get disoriented or you're not really sure what's going on or whatever, if you hit that button, it'll actually come back and fly and go into a holding pattern kind of around you.
That's pretty cool.
And I think, that was the other thing. I can't remember.
It'll just do circles, correct? Is that when you say a flying pattern?
Yes.
Like circle?
Yeah,
circle,
holding pattern, just right around.
Loiter mode.
And I don't know if it was that one I was reading on, where one of their airplanes I was reading where you could set it up to have a circle holding pattern or a square holding pattern of some sort. So
neat.
Yeah. But it also has, you can set it up with the virtual fence too. So you can put limitations on right on that thing.
So if you have trees, you can set that barrier.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like that.
That might be up your alley, Mike.
So you know what? This is very much like our flight controllers and our quads.
Yeah, yes. And that's exactly where they pulled that stuff from, is right off of the quad stuff and threw it in an airplane. And it really is a pretty cool idea. For the bind and fly, it's $309. If you want the ready to fly, I think it comes with the DX4. It's $349. So really, for $300 and you're everything out of the box, $350 out of the box, ready to go, and it has all those features where really anybody could pull that out of the box. I would think and hope that they wouldn't have any problems, flying it.
Cessna style looking airplane.
Yep.
It's a tricycle. My only concern is I wonder how robust that landing gear is for a beginner's airplane. But good point. You got landing mode, so hey.
Yeah. Again, that's a good point that you did bring that up, because I would think they'd have something kind of, the Delta Ray has that option. You can pull the gear off and just belly land it. You can put it down in any field or anything. Where it looks like with this plane, you're going to have to have some kind of landing surface. I don't think you're really going to land that in the grass. So it's got to be on gravel or parking lot or something like that.
Those are pretty tiny looking wheels.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So that's the Hobby Zone Sportman S Plus,
but the landing feature was definitely the thing about it.
Yeah,
I thought
that was pretty cool. And again, even the holding pattern returned
to
the fixed point.
The big difference.
That's pretty cool.
This thing.
Here's something I thought was really cool. Is Hangar 9 brought back the P-51 Mustang S Trainer. And that plane's been around for quite a while. But here's the cool thing. It's the new P-51 Mustang S because it has a safe technology. And what they did is they took the glow motor off and they put an 8cc gas motor on it for the trainer. And it's only $399. Mm-hmm. That is cool.
It's balsa, right?
Yes, all balsa. And it is a regular trainer. Matter of fact, Flight Test had one. I think they still
it
do have
it. Cool.
But it had the nitro motor and obviously didn't have the safe system on it. But now with the safe system on it and an 8cc gas motor.
That looks really cool
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, that's cool.
Now, they consider this was this a beginner or...
Yeah, it's a beginner trainer. Now, something like that, though, you're probably going to want a buddy box. You know,
I know nothing about gassers, but do they make pusher gassers by any chance, do you know of? For beginner? Because that would be a true beginner in my mind. You'd be saving your motor, your engine, if it was a pusher-type plane. I just thought I'd throw it out there. I never heard or I don't follow gas much.
If they do, I don't know of one off the top of my head unless it's... you know, home built of some sort.
Because I know with electrics, pushers,
yeah,
like the yeah, like so the Bixler or something
yeah.
like that,
so when
you're
you
saving.
Nose it in.
And when you have a value of an engine, I just thought, well, I wonder if they have anything like that.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I just wanted to throw that out there when we were talking about gas.
Yeah.
We don't follow. I don't follow.
Definitely, if you're going to, you know, buy a Hangar 9 P-51 Mustang for $400, I don't, you know, that's not something you want to pull out of the box and just, you know, go fly yourself.
I bet it sounds cool too. That's
what's
so cool
I love
about
the
gas.
Yes. I know. So that's cool. Next thing they have on their list is the new eFlight Pulse 15E. Mm-hmm. Comes in a plug and fly for $209 or a bind and fly at $239. Now, they made a similar plane that, and I believe it was the Pulse, but it was all balsa. Now, what they did with this is they took it and put it in the foam version, in the Z foam. Now, the cool thing about it is you can make it a try or a tail dragger, or it has a float option.
Yeah, I knew that's what we created.
Yeah. So it's a really good looking
now,
airplane.
Can you use floats as skis?
Yes.
Like in the snow?
Yeah, and Wayne does it all the time.
That's what I thought.
Beaver.
You said the beavers, you did that.
Yeah, yeah. So
that must slow it down big time with ski with the floats on.
What do you mean? Like landing or taking? What do you mean?
But just air performance-wise, like just speed-wise.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not that bad.
It's not as drastic as you'd think it would be. Biggest thing what I noticed with floats, Wayne probably tell you the same thing, is in your turns. When you got floats and they're hanging off the bottom, you really got to use that rudder to try to make somewhat, because what happens, you go into that turn, the plane just wants to skid with them big heavy floats at the bottom. So even with, I think, our beavers, I got 100% rudder dialed in and mixed with the ailerons, just, you know, with the floats to get it to make a nice coordinated turn. That's about the only thing I really noticed with them.
That Pulse 15E is a nice looking plane.
It is.
I like it.
It is. It's a really nice. Fun. And
it must have actually a very big fuselage, because it's saying it will take a 4,000, a 3S 4,000.
I did see that. Was it 2,600 to a 4,000 or something?
Wow.
36 or something. Yeah, 2,500 to 4,000 3S. So it must have a fairly large capacity on the inside, because it looks like a narrow. The photos I'm looking at look like a very narrow
fuselage.
Fuse.
Looks very narrow. The overhead view of it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, 4,000 is pretty good size. Battery.
Do you have to put it in vertically? Yep. I wonder.
maybe. But I'm looking at what the internal fuselage, and they've got the six channel AS3X receiver and two servos, and there's still room left to right of the servos. So it might have a lot of. It might actually be a little wider looking as far as the pictures go.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's
but
a good
still,
size airplane too, 55 inch wingspan.
So it's a nice looking plane.
All right, a couple more things here real quick. The next thing, which they've announced this a while ago, and we were kind of interested in checking it out and looking at it, but they brought out the UMX FPV Radian, which I was actually kind of shocked. That I wasn't expecting that. I don't know if the Ultra Micro Radian is something I'd want to cruise around FPV or not.
I don't know.
You know?
It might be a bumpy ride.
What? Or you get in trouble and you don't have the motor power to get yourself home.
Yeah, it could be true.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I like their little Sport Cub S that they have. That I flew that FPV, and that was a lot of fun, and it's slow and low and everything. But I don't know, the FPV.
And I was debating getting the camera and rig separately, and just yeah. since I already own one, but at $100, I'm not right. doing that for just the camera to throw in.
Right.
And then the mount with eight or something.
So that's out there if anybody's interested.
What was the price on that with the camera?
$189.
That was $180. And yep. I can't remember what I paid for mine without FPV at this point.
Let me switch over here real quick. I got one other thing that they actually just announced today. They have a new, I guess it's a camera platform. It's called the Blade Chroma Drone. They just announced it today. I'm going to pull the specs up. Now, looking at this thing, as if anybody knows, Horizon Hobby also sells some AP platforms made by Unique. And looking at this quad, it looks like it's made by Unique. It looks like the same radio, same similar quad. Now, what they did with this is did a couple different things. It has a new CG03 stabilized 4K camera. So basically, they're kind of maybe trying to compete a little bit with the new Phantom that just come out. So you have a new 4K camera, shoots 30 frames at 1080p at 120 frames a second. It shoots 4K at 30 frames a second or 1080p at 120 frames a second video. 16 megapixel photos, no distortion lens, integrated 3-axis brushless gimbal, 5.8 gigahertz Wi-Fi. But what they did do with it, it does have some adjustable settings for your different light conditions. Comes in at like three different platforms. You can get that one. Or you can go with the CG02 stabilized 1080p camera, which is kind of like the one I have on my regular Blade. Just shoots 1080p, 60 frames a second, 16 megapixel photos, 3-axis gimbal, and the 5.8 gigahertz Wi-Fi. Now, if you buy like the ready-to-fly setup, it has some different features. Obviously, they're going back to their original Blade setup with the smart mode. You can use smart mode for first-time pilots where the stick is relative to the movements of the drone. So whatever direction the stick is pushed, no matter which way the nose is pointed, that's which way that the quad's going to go. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you're doing nose in and where control is backwards. If you're doing smart mode, it doesn't matter. Then it'll do a regular aerial photography mode. But what now they've built into it is it has a follow me mode where it'll follow you at a distance and altitude that you set, and you can focus on lining up your perfect shot using the rudder or the camera tilt controls. Also has a new tracking mode. It'll follow and keep the camera pointed at whoever is holding the ST10 Plus controller. Great way to capture yourself in action when you're flying around. Naturally, it's got the return to home settings, adjustable flight boundaries. So it's pretty close to the actual Blade, the one that I have, the 350. But this one's obviously has the 4K. You can still run it off a device if you want. You know, if you want to run it off your phone or iPad or Android tablet or anything like that. But again, they're giving you that option to come with the full controller with the built-in screen right on there.
Does that give you more range when you use the transmitter?
No, I don't think so. It's probably, you know, you're still running still on limited. The 5.8. Yeah, yeah, okay. So I don't think your range is...
That's your one of your downsides to the Blade, I thought, wasn't it?
With the range? Well, I've never really pushed it, to be honest with you. So I don't really know how far. I've heard varying reports on that thing. But my problem is I don't want to test it, really. So I haven't I haven't flown it too far.
Yeah, that tracking mode and follow me mode is only for the CG03 and CG02.
With the controller.
With the controller, correct. Right.
You're
the other two, the one with the gimbal and the other one's the bind and fly fixed mount. Those don't.
Right.
But those are, you bind them with a Spectrum.
Correct. Yep. So that's brand new, just coming out. And again, it looks like they're kind of trying to compete with the Phantom a little bit.
Right on the same price point too, by the way it looks.
Oh, good. What was the price? Because I was trying to find it.
The top end one with the remote, so the 4K CG03, it's showing $1,300 on sale, or regular like $1,490 US. So,
I think their downfall with that, though, honestly, you know, it could fly as good and video and everything could be as good as the Phantom 3, but they've got to update their app. They have nothing on their app. There's no features or anything on there. You know, there's no battery voltage or signal or live view map, anything like that. I think that's their big downfall. No,
and they don't have the market name right now at all.
Right. So we'll see. It'd be interesting what they when we were at Toledo, I tried to talk to the Horizon guys about that to see, and he said, really, we have that was a unique app, and they had really no control over that or what really they were doing in the future. So that's that for Horizon. But I was pretty shocked. They really got a lot of stuff coming out, and I don't know if you guys agree, but it just seems like I can't keep up. Like every 6 months. Like, you buy something, and 6 months later, you're like, you're killing me.
Exactly.
Like, oh.
Well, they got that Heron, that glider that they're coming out with,
too. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I thought I had it wrote down. But, yeah, Multiplex finally released the Heron glider.
94.5-inch wingspan.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah. So that's coming out. Looks pretty cool. A little pricey. Was it 370?
$375 for receiver ready.
Receiver ready. But we got to really see that in person, and it's beefy. I mean, it's kind of heavy, but it looks like I don't know if that's going to be really, really good for thermaling. I think it the way it's built and everything. You know, if you wanted to go out and do slope soaring and acrobatics and stuff like that, that's like what that's built for. It is a really nice looking glider, though.
They have a kit version for 170 actually as well.
Yep.
But I assume that I'm just flicking through their website. I assume they would require a motor or something
everything.
Like that.
All your servos. It'd be just like the Fun Cub. All your servos, electronics, everything.
Yeah. Why not just get it from factory set, ready to go?
Right. Unless you had something laying around that you pulled everything out of it. You might have crashed it or got it stuck in a tree or something.
If I ever fly again, Wayne's flying before me.
You will fly again.
We'll find something to torture you with, man.
I'll fly again, but it'll be my own product. That way I don't have the nerves.
You still haven't flown a T-28, man. So, you got to get your checks in the box for that one, too.
Hey, the only other thing I wanted to mention, because I like them and I don't own one, but I always want one. But Andre, do you see that Hobby King come out with that new Super G auto gyro?
Yeah, that looked neat.
That thing is cool looking. And what I like about it, it's big. It's got like a big 1080 millimeter rotor. The thing is, it's only like $195. But I was watching the videos of that thing, and I like the original auto gyro, like the G2 that they had for a while. And I think they even had it on sale in the USA office a while back for like $80. And I was so tempted to jump on it. And now they come out with this thing. And I was like, oh, man, I'd love, because them things, you can fly them in wind. You know, it doesn't phase them as much as a regular airplane or anything like that. They fly slow. They got short field takeoff, The only bummer for me, though, is this one flies on a 4-cell, like a 2600 to a 3000.
Look at that. Yeah, I'm just pulled up the specs. They seem to be Hobby King seems to be pushing on the 4-cells a lot lately.
It seems to me that a lot of these new airplanes, whether it be Hobby King or FMS or not so much Horizon, but everything seems to be pushing more towards the 4-cells nowadays. I mean, I almost got to wonder within a year, year and 6 months or whatever, that now like a 2200 or a 2600 4-cell is going to become the new 2200 3-cell.
That's what
it seems like to me. So I don't know, because it seems like every time I look at something now, it's 4-cell.
It's a 4S,
So yeah. I don't know.
By the way, you were asking last time what Hobby King had named their Fun Cub clone.
Yeah.
It's called the Tundra.
Oh, that's an appropriate name.
But apparently it's going to be, equipment-wise, it's going to have skis and floats. So We'll have to see what parts. I mean, if it's I might be able to get myself a nice set of skis for my fun cub, but maybe the floats. But I mean, really flying this thing, you need what, like 2 inches to land the airplane?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So. I'm interested to see too what they use for their wheels, if they really copycat and multiplex with them big
that foam yeah.
lightweight wheels, you know, or what they are.
I'm still running mine. You know, I've had to put some hot glue in a few gouges and spots, but they lasted all winter, and I flew that plane quite a lot during some pretty miserable conditions. So,
yeah. Did they have a price point on that Tundra yet?
No, they haven't leased it. And a majority of the Hobby King planes, they say later, June, July.
Yeah, right.
So most of the stuff is probably on freight ships coming over. So I still have a very sneaky suspicion that the P-40 is going to get released. I'm going to buy it, and it's going to get stuck away until September.
Gotcha.
But I still see pictures of that plane and drool.
Yeah,
but that's just me, you know.
Yeah, I do too. That thing just looks so good. So we'll have to see. Hope they got it figured out, and we'll see it soon. That's it. That's all I got for this podcast. Anybody got anything else or anything they want to talk about?
Nope.
All right.
Where am I in relation to Pat's Rex at this point? I haven't seen him for so long.
Yeah, I just talked to him the other day, too.
I think he threw the rat towel in.
He was out flying the other day.
Really?
That's
good to hear.
Yeah, he texted me and he goes, "Hey, man, I'm going out flying. You want to come out?" Of course, I was at a baseball game.
Sure.
So, yeah, he's still getting out there, good. But you haven't quite caught Pat yet. He's
he was back on the light post from what I hear.
He's up there quite a bit in crashes. And I got to wonder, some of them I think were intentional. I don't know. Man, he's got some crash stories. So other than that, I think that's it.
So we don't have to do any crash stories this episode.
No.
I took care of that one.
You single-handedly, did a wonderful job.
Hey, speaking of crash stories, I threw it out there, the majority of everybody loves the crash stories, and I like to sprinkle them in, but the problem I'm having right now is I'm getting overwhelmed on them. So what we might do is might throw out a bonus podcast if you guys are even interested. Maybe if we can get together even a Saturday morning, I'd take you out and buy you breakfast at Cracker Barrel or something. We can come down here and bring
through, blow through stuff.
Yeah, sit down.
Oh, sure, sure.
Fedora coffee and go through about 20 of them or so and maybe catch up. So I'm thinking about doing that if we can get us together and try to catch up a little bit. I think that's the only way, everything we got going on and the reviews and stuff we got coming up, it's going to be tough.
And baseball is just killing both of us.
Baseball is killing both of us.
I mean, I'm surprised that neither one
has
had a game tonight.
I know. We got lucky. So other than that, we got a lot of stuff coming up. We'll do the review on the Rock Glider. We got the Whip It. What else do we have coming up? Seems like we had a couple other things coming up. But
A small event in July.
Small event in July called Flight Fest is coming up.
Is that July 11th weekend? The weekend after 9th, the 4th.
Yeah, 9th, 10th, 11th. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I actually have a Canadian contingent. I think we've got a convoy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I've got a few friends coming down, so we're all meeting up and driving down. So it should be a fun great. Event.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, we got to
look at this weather out here.
I know.
We should be flying. This is awesome weather right now.
I had hoped to go out too, and I just got a note saying that the fields are all filled up with people, so we can't go flying, but that's okay.
Oh, man, it looks nice.
Come on. The other thing too, real quick, and that's one reason I'll say we were supposed to have David Vindenstall on tonight. He was going to be our surprise guest. He's got the new NAS 32 tricopter that come out and has been shipping.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going to talk about it. But the bad thing for David is it's like 11. Yeah, he worked himself to death today. It's after 11 o'clock over there. And he texted me the last minute and said, "Dude, I can't keep my eyes open. I can't stay awake. I'm never going to make it." I said, "No problem. Don't worry about it." So luckily, Andre, I texted you at the very last second and said, "Hey, if you want, if you're able and willing, we'll throw you on. You can
always
come hang out with
your
us."
Input. Yep.
Yeah. So luckily, there for a while, I was a little worried. Thought we were getting ready. I had Fred's number ready to go on speed dial.
I was gonna have to go wreck something real quick to add some material. So,
I was literally pulling into the driveway, and I said, Laura, I said, I'm gonna grab a quick coffee. You're gonna have to figure out supper for yourself, and I'm gonna go chat with the boys.
Oh, that's funny. But,
and after a long day, I'm thoroughly energized now, so it's good. Been swell.
Yeah, good. So I got really appreciate that, Andre. You at the last minute jumping in here, and even though I was like scrambling a little bit of what to do, we still filled an hour and a half, so we're good. We'll be back here in a couple weeks, and hopefully by then we can get out a little bit more, get some flying in. Hey, once again, thanks everyone for following us on Instagram. Man, I don't know if you've looked at the numbers lately, Wayne, but that thing has just like grown way more than expected.
That's great.
I never thought it would ever get that high. So, and it's still going, and I don't know if we could do it. We're approaching 2,000. I think it'd be awesome if we could figure out who the 2,000th person was and we give them a flight test plane or something. I don't know. I have to talk to Bixler about that one.
But a Visionaire with some damage.
Yeah. Slight damage. So. All right. Thanks everyone for joining us. Give us a follow on Instagram at FT After Hours, or on Twitter at FT After Hours. Or if you have any questions, problems, concerns, whatever, crash stories, send them to me at chris@flighttest.com. Other than that, we will see you and talk to you in a couple weeks. We're out of here.
See you guys.
See you
later.
Bye-bye.